thank you for your precious word and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our understanding, that we would grasp hold of the truth of your word and walk in it as never before, that you would be magnified in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at just a couple. We're going to talk about faith a little bit tonight. And John 14:1 says this, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus is saying this. Your heart must not be troubled. Amen? Who has control of your heart? You do. Your spouse doesn't. Your children don't. Your boss doesn't. God doesn't. You have control of your heart, your soul, your emotions. Amen? And this word is real clear. It says, don't let it be troubled. It's your heart. Don't let it be troubled. And his answer, well, what's trouble? It's an uncertain affinity to stir or to agitate. Ever been agitated? Ever been stirred up? You're troubled. Amen. And the word's real clear here. It says, don't let that happen. Amen. But he's also clear, too, the answer to it. Real simple. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's the answer to a troubled heart. That's the answer to lack of faith. Amen. If you're stirred up, if you're troubled, if you're agitated, one answer. Well, is it that simple? Really? Believe in God. It's not believe about the promises of God. It's not believe in your faith. It's not believe in your confession. But what does he say? Believe in God. Believe also in me. So if believe means to have faith in or upon or with respect to a person. So we're going to have faith in and upon God. That means we need to know a little bit about him, don't we? Amen? Because our faith, our confidence has to be in who he is and what he has said. There is a level of confidence that we can come to in God, and that's exactly what faith is. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. Brother Hagin said that all the time. That was his level of faith. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. In other words, if God said something, his word is sure enough, we can grab hold of it and hold on to it, believe it, and then it doesn't matter if hell or high water come against you, it's settled. It's settled forever in heaven. Amen. God the Father is in covenant with Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price to cover all penalty and results of penalty of sin, clearing the board and giving us access in a way into what God has ordained for us to have. Aren't you glad about that? So if God says, this is what I've done for you, this is what I've given to you, this is what I want you to have, then why would we doubt it? He's already given his best and his all. Amen. Amen. You guys can get excited anytime. It's truth. Amen. And if we believe it's true, we got shouting ground here. Amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So be it. It's settled. Amen. Amen. It's good news. It's good news for all of us. despite what's going on round about you. Because sometimes hell breaks out in little pockets all around, and you look at that and you think, it shouldn't be that way. You're right, it shouldn't. God has a better way and a higher way for all of us. But what are we going to do? Are you going to let somebody else's circumstances pull the life out of you and suck you down? We've got to be determined, you know what? I'm going to live above it. It doesn't matter what's going on over here. Yeah, I'm going to pray for that one. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to live a light, an example before them. But I'm going to have to trust them, because that's an area of faith too. I'm going to have to trust this situation at work or in my family. I'm going to have to entrust it to God Almighty. Amen. If your circumstances or situation, your home life is bringing you down, then you have not come to a place of faith in God. Bottom line is, God is greater. It doesn't matter what you're facing, physical, emotional, financial, relational, God is greater. You cannot make somebody else's decisions. Probably one of the biggest mistakes I've made early on in the era of healing is try to push through when somebody wasn't ready to receive. I wanted them to have it. I knew they could have it. I believed it with all my heart. I'd seen it in my life. I'd seen it in others' lives. But I couldn't make somebody else, no matter how much I wanted it for them, I couldn't push it off on them despite my zeal. Amen. And pushing through and praying for people when they're not ready for prayer, it hurts them and it hurts you. So what's the best way to do? Take a step back. What did Jesus do? There was no mighty works in his own hometown because of what? Their unbelief. So he went about teaching. So what do you do when you encounter friends or family, loved ones that you care deeply about that are struggling? What do you tell them? You go back. You go back and you tell them again. 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 And when you're done with that, tell them again. Amen? Because sometimes it takes a little bit to get from here to here. But it has to drop down from mental ascent to where we really grasp hold. This is God's word. This is truth. And it's for me. Amen? So we want to get it for ourselves. We want to get it for others. But Jesus answered to having faith, not for not having our hearts troubled, not being distressed or agitated, that we have to have faith in God. What about? What's agitating you? What's troubling you? I mean, this is faith and healing school. We apply it to healing, but we can apply it to every area of in our life. Any area that God has given us promises and victories and his word on a situation, then we can I just keep having people in my heart that there's relational issues or somebody's troubled about a person. Can you make their decision for them? Mm-mm. People try to all the time. It's called manipulation. You ever been in a relationship where you've been manipulated or tried to be? Well, if I do this, then they have to do this. You push them that direction. You keep nudging them. God doesn't do that to us, does he? Sweet, simple, small, still voice. He speaks to us so that we get it. But then it's up to us what we do with it. He's not going to push us, not going to twist our arm behind our back, not going to manipulate us in any form or fashion. He's given us his word, and that is what the Holy Ghost is telling us here. Believe God. Believe also in me. Jesus is the word made flesh. We got to believe this thing is true. That you can bet your life on it. Amen. You know, for the longest time, just believing that I was going to heaven was a big deal. Still is a big deal. Amen. In fact, we say, where is it? Well, John 14:2, the very next verse, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you have faith in that? How many believe he's gone to prepare a place for us? You're convinced? Then notify your face. That's good news, amen? Hallelujah. So, but in that he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. There's an aspect of faith. He says, not as the world gives, not that kind of peace. There's a depth of the peace that we have. I give you. Let not your heart, again, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that word afraid, it's to be timid. What happens to timid people? I've been timid my whole life. What happens to me? I'll tell you. You miss out on a whole lot in life because you're always backing away because you're afraid to step forward and grab hold of something. You're afraid you're not going to do it, be good enough, you step out, whatever, it's not going to be right, not going to be good. So therefore you do nothing. Therefore you get nothing. You're not promoted, you don't go on, you don't go and grow in grace. You just sit there in your lump. And most people don't know exactly where you're at if you just put a smile on your face. But intimidation, allowing yourself to be timid, to be afraid. When you're timid, you back away from what is yours. You don't grab hold of it. It's a lack of confidence. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to go after what God has promised with everything within us. Amen. And not allow fear or intimidation to get to us. Amen. We need to gird ourselves up. We need to fight the good fight of faith. Strengthen ourselves from the inside out. If God's truly given us his word and he's telling us to put our confidence in him, don't you think we ought to do that? Don't you think we ought to grab hold of the truth and not let go of it? The enemy's trying to talk us out of everything that God has given you. I'll tell you that right now. He's a thief who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. If he could have stopped you from salvation, he would have done it. He can't. He couldn't. Right? You step past all that nonsense and you grabbed hold of God's word and his truth. Right? Thank God. Well, he's trying to stop, to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal what? Your faith. Faith in what? Your God. The Word of God says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. There's reward. All the promises are maybe, and we'll see, maybe if I'm in the mood. Is that what it says about the promises of God? What's it say? They're yes and amen. Yes and amen. No maybes. Yes. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good news. Amen? And he's watching over his word to perform it. In Mark 11:22, when the disciples came across the fig tree and it was withered, He spoke to them on that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And he said, have faith in the words I spoke. What did he say? In God. Have faith in God. Yeah, but he spoke words. Shouldn't he have faith in the words? Who's watching over the words? Amen. He watches his word to perform it. If we're operating under his word, doing what we know to do, saying what we know to say, he is bound by his word to watch over it, to make sure it comes to pass. Amen. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? Shouldn't that give us a boost that when we step out, when we say what God says, when we're in agreement, in alignment with what he has to say, shouldn't our confidence level rise up if he's watching over his word to perform it? I mean, that's God, this is your word. It's your word. You can't lie. You are faithful. You've given me your promises. You've given your all. This is your word, Lord. Aren't you glad? He brings it forth. Amen. So we can have confidence in him. We're going back to who. Where's our faith come? Where's all faith come? Faith in God. It's God. Let's just forget all the principles of faith. Let's just look at God. Amen? He doesn't change. He doesn't waver. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He's constant. Isn't that good news? There are some people that are so wishy-washy and they flip around like a fish. You don't know where they're going to land. You can't put confidence in some people, but we can always put confidence in God because he doesn't flip. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't get in a bad mood, decide, You know, we see judgment in the Old Testament, but what do you see in the New? Everything was judged on Jesus, right? It was taken care of when he went to Calvary. Our sin, it was, and we're under grace. Does that give us permission to sin? Absolutely not. Does it give you permission to live any which way you want? No. If you love God, you follow God. You search him out. You're becoming, you're conforming to his image and his likeness. Amen. You hunger for him. You hunger for righteousness. There's a motivation in your heart because God's in your heart. That love is in your heart. And it, if you give place to it, what happens if you don't give place to it? Absolutely nothing. Whose choice is it? You have faith in God. Yeah, but didn't he give us faith as part of our... Yeah, he did. It's part of the fruit. Amen. It's in there. But just like everything else, we have to exercise it. Patience. Hallelujah. Do you have patience? But it's there all the time, right? It's always there and depends on if we give place to it or not, whether we see it operating in our life. Joy? Where's joy? Where is it? Amen. So how do we access it? Pastor Gary has a illustration. What's your illustration? You want to show everybody?
When I realize I don't have joy, I picture myself reaching my arm down my throat all the way to my insides and grabbing it and pulling it out. And that's kind of a shock and a weird picture. But to me, it shocks me into responding to it. Because I thought, it's in there. I'm going after it. I'm reaching deep and grabbing it and pulling it out. By doing that, I realize it's a mental image to me. I don't physically put my arm down my throat. But it's a shock mental image that establishes the validity of, I do have joy in the inside of me. So reaching down and pulling it out. I do the same thing for the other fruit of the Spirit as well. I believe it's on the inside of me. And the big mistake that people make is they pray to God for it. Well, how unscriptural can you be? Oh, God, give me peace. Oh, God, give us joy. Oh, God, it's kind of like, didn't you read the Bible? It's not asking him for it. He already supplied it and put it in us. That means we have to access the supply on the inside, not turn into some kind of a beggar, asking God for something that he's already given us. What if you baked brand new fresh chocolate chip cookies and you gave a dozen of them on a plate to your kid, and your kid says, can I have a cookie? And you've just given them a brand new hot fresh plate of a dozen cookies. Please give me a cookie. And you're looking at the kid like, what's wrong with you? I gave you a whole plate of cookies. I want a cookie. Oh, please, if I could just have a cookie. And you're thinking, something's wrong. Don't you see the cookies? Don't you smell the cookies? The cookies are right there. I gave you the cookies. But I want a cookie. And Christians do that. Oh, I just need peace. If I had just a little peace and joy in my house, just a little. I don't care about anything else. Just a little peace and joy, I'd be okay. You think, you do have it. You're the kid with a dozen cookies that refuses to acknowledge that you have it. You just want to be mad a little while longer. So, anyway.
So we are responsible. We're the ones who have to reach down on the inside of us and draw it out. But it's there. You're not lacking for anything. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So if we have it and we have access to it, responsibility falls solely on us whether or not we pick it up and run with it. How fast do you want to grow in Christ? Fast, huh? You know, that's up to you, and it's up to me. And I'll tell you one thing that helps, and you're not going to want to hear it. It's that word that most people dread, and it starts with a capital D. Discipline. Hallelujah. But discipline, what is that? It's controlling your flesh, controlling your emotions, controlling your attitudes. It's doing what's right when you don't feel like it. It's getting up off the couch when you want to lay there, right? It's not eating when you want to eat. Not spending when you want to spend. Saying the right thing when you just soon just rip through and say ugly things. It's discipline. It's pulling the reins in. Taking control. Amen. And making it go the right direction. And one thing that I'm finding out, little by little, the last several weeks, there's different disciplines I've been bringing into my life. And one thing makes a way for the next thing, and that gets easier. And when that's in control, something else comes in. And little by little, there's a multitude of things that are coming together. Some of them I'm really working at. Some of them are just coming together. The more I give to him, the grace flow is there. I thank God for it. You know, there's something that we say quite often, and that is struggling. How many have ever been in a struggle? Is the result of delayed obedience. It's not disobedience. You want to do what's right. The Holy Ghost shows you through the Word, convicts you by the Spirit, and yet you don't obey immediately. I'll get to it. Oh, I've got plans to do that in the first of the month. I'm going to change it as soon as. It's the result of delayed obedience. When you instantly obey God, the minute He convicts you and speaks to your heart, there's a flow of grace. What's grace? It's God's ability. It's His anointing. It's His ability to stand and to serve in this life when we yield to that grace, when we yield through obedience. Is it the first steps are the hardest. The decision is what's the hardest, because you've got this picture in your mind that if I do this, then I lose this, right? I mean, if you're giving up something, whether it's fleshly or emotional or whatever, it's got to be dear to you to a certain point, or it wouldn't be a struggle whatsoever, right? There's something that's holding your heart and your emotions that keeps you from totally yielding and giving it to God. So come into the place where, okay, God, it's yours. I'm yielding and I'm giving it to you. Amen. Come into that place. Yeah, but then you know what happens when people make some progress, we go forward, we're making great strides. What happens if you mess up? Instead of just dusting themselves off, saying, God, forgive me, I'm asking for your mercy, a lot of people will just back up and stop. Not try again. Not go forward with the plan of God. They just step back into the cesspool. True or false? Who's got control of that? It all falls squarely on us, I'm telling you. When I stand before God, I can't say, but my husband, but my children, but my mother, but my father. Adam didn't get away, but the one you gave me didn't count for nothing. He was accountable. Amen. We're all going to be accountable. Doesn't matter what's happened to any of us in life, because we're overcomers in Christ. We're more than conquerors in Christ. He paid the price for everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's delivered the promise unto us so that we can partake of it. We just have to grab hold of the thing. God, that's your word and it's true, and I know it's true. You are faithful and I love you for it. Amen? And that's where our fight needs to be, with our own mind to come into agreement with who He is. Because the battlefield is the mind. But it's not whether or not He's going to give you the promises, because the promises are complete in Him. It's whether or not you're going to believe who He says He is. Ooh. That's some toe-stomping material. Because we don't really want to believe that. But the bottom line is, who is God? Jesus gave that. Don't be troubled. Don't be agitated. Don't be afraid. Have faith in God. That's where it needs to be. Why? Because He is faithful. He is love. I mean, look at 1 Corinthians 13. What about love? Anybody ever stumbled over 1 Corinthians 13 in your own life? But what about God? Has He ever struggled or stumbled? Never. Not one time. Even when I blow it. He's still God of love. He changes not. His motivation is love. Everything he does is surrounded in love. So we can put our confidence in who he is and the motivation of his heart because he has a heart of love. And in the New Testament, everything having been judged on Christ and everything complete in him, it all belongs to us. We just got to grab hold of it. But we're still under the Old Testament mentality that, well, we weren't good enough. If you do this, then this will happen. Yeah, he was Jehovah Rapha. He still is. But the covenant of the Old Testament has, we have a better covenant. Amen? All the promises and the good things from the Old Covenant are together with us. All of them. All the good things. And we've had added to it. Not taken away from us. Everything's been added to it. Yay, God. So if judgment came on Jesus and grace came to us, and I don't mean sloppy grace. I don't mean live any which way you think you can get away with and count it as it's okay. It's under the blood. Yeah, your sins are under the blood. You're forgiven. He's redeemed us. He sees us righteous. He sees us holy. He sees us through the blood. But it's not a permit to live with one foot in the world and the other moving towards God. Doesn't work. Amen. Or me. What are we going to do? Believe God. Believe also in me. He loves you. He's for you. He's paid the price for you. He's committed to you. He's faithful to you. He has given his all. Amen. Those stripes were sufficient. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. You couldn't even recognize his face, according to Isaiah. Can you imagine? I've never seen anybody beaten like that. And when I saw the passion for Christ, I thought that was horrific. And they said they couldn't go anywhere further than what they went, but it was still a far cry from what it would have been. And he did that for you. He did that for me. He withheld nothing. If healing wasn't a part of the covenant, he didn't need to go through that. He could have died on the cross alone. But before the cross, he was beaten. He was ripped apart. His flesh was just bruised and damaged for us. Yay, God. I mean, that is a self-sacrificing love. He's withheld nothing from us. Nothing. So is he going to withhold healing from you? No, he's given. It's the banquet table set. The healing bread's on the table. It's up to you to grab a hunk. You want a piece? Went to this restaurant in, somewhere in Missouri. In the place of the throwed rolls. And they throw rolls from across the room to you. It's kind of fun. But you want a piece of the healing bread? Huh? You going to catch it? Amen. It belongs to us. Amen. So if fear is rising up, if you're troubled, if you're agitated, then you're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong thing. One thing, this word for faith in God, It's a persuasion, a moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God, especially in reliance upon Christ for salvation. Well, we know salvation is that all-inclusive word, sozo, soteria. It's all of our salvation, not just he died so you could go to heaven, but he delivered, healed, set free, peace, wholeness, soundness. All of it was included in salvation. He paid for it all, once for all. It's assurance, belief, faith, and fidelity. What is fidelity? It's commitment to one, isn't it? Commitment to one? Right? So we're putting it's a truth that's it. We're putting our confidence and our truth in this promise right here. It's complete in him. You know, if you're dating someone, you're thinking about marriage, if there's uncertainty in you about that person, there's no proposal, is there? Right? If there is, there's a problem. Because you need to have certainty about the one that you're to marry, right? There's a confidence that should rise up in us, and it's a commitment of their character, really, is what it comes down to. We believe in them and who they are and what they stand for, and we're committing to be united with them. Well, that's what we've done with Jesus. We've committed, have faith in God, have fidelity, be in this commitment with him that you're not going to run around after all this other stuff, but you're with him. His word is final. His word is say so. We're setting our hearts on it. Amen. We have a confidence, not that timidity that we talked about before. Not that we're going to back up, and that's what causes us to wonder and to doubt and to worry and to be afraid, is there's not a confidence there. But when we have a confidence in who he is and what he declared and what he's bought and paid for, understanding the love and the mercy and the gravity of everything he gave, he laid aside his deity to come and do this. Amen. All the power, all the knowledge, all his, where he could be everywhere at any time, he laid it aside. He emptied himself. He came as a man and became dependent upon God Almighty. Hearing, I only say what my Father tells me to say. I only do what my Father shows me to do. He became dependent on God like we are to be dependent on the Spirit of God. He showed us how to do it. He laid everything aside to come and pay the price because he loves us, because he cares. If he cares about the sparrows and the hairs on your head, what do you think he cares about your spleen and your liver and your gallbladder? I mean, it doesn't go unnoticed by him. He says, I paid for that. It should be whole and new in you. Right? So, we don't want to be lacking confidence, amen, at all. So he left his peace with us, and let's see. I think it's in Yeah, John 14:26, just before he says, "My peace I leave with you, I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's the instructions we were given, right? But then, just before that, he tells us what the answer is in verse 26. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." There's a Trinity. They're all involved in this deal. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Spirit of God is continuously speaking to us if we're taking time to listen. "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. He is speaking to us. I'm telling you what. There were some things that were going on just recently in my body that were a little bit alarming. Anybody ever been there before? Yet, recently I've brought some things under control. I'm disciplining myself. I'm doing what I knew to do. But there was a long time before I started doing these things that the Spirit of God was speaking to me in that still small voice, and I knew what to do. Oh yeah, yeah, I need to. Struggling is what? A result of what? When he speaks to you and you don't do it, that's what? Delayed obedience. So guess who was struggling? And guess where it was showing up? In my physical body. But he was speaking to me before I had symptoms in my body about what to change in my life. But I wasn't doing it. Till the symptoms got severe enough, they scared me. Then guess what? Yes, sir. Got my attention, right? Why would he ever, why would I ever allow myself to come to the place that I've stepped into? It's not God's judgment. He warned me. Right? Well, God's judging you because you disobeyed. No, he's not. Not at all. Not at all. God was warning me so I would obey. Why? Because he knows my body. He knows it better than I know it. He knows each one of us, our sensitivities, the different things that work in us that we've been dealing with in life, our stress levels, how we need to cast the whole of our care upon him. Over 90% of all sickness and disease is stress-induced. Amen. And in America, there's a huge percentage that is diet-induced. Because we've come to the convenient food, drive-through and box mix, and it costs. It costs. We need to have healthier, cleaner eating. But it's so easy to drive through McDonald's. Right? And it's not good. And we talk ourselves in and out of the will of God here. But God is already, he's that still small voice. You hear it, you know it. You know if he's been talking to you about diet, what to change, what to drink, what not to drink, how to exercise, what not to do, what to add, how to sleep, when to sleep, how to cast your care upon the Lord. Amen. And all of them are important. Every single aspect is important. And we can't underestimate anything. If God says it to you, it's not a small thing. And I think that's where we get in trouble. When he begins to speak to us, it seems like a small thing. Like it's no big deal. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I'll do that. Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that. Did I tell you I was thinking about doing that? Yeah, I'm going to do that. And it can go months and years on end. But what would have happened if day one, we would have incorporated that and done it? How much progress would we have? Hallelujah. I bet I've lost 250 pounds in the last 10 years. Hallelujah. God is so good. But the comforter, the parakletos, that means he comes alongside to help. We are never alone in anything that we're dealing with. Amen. And he's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to guide you into truth, into righteousness. He's going to prompt you on the inside, remembrances about God. Yeah, yeah, something will rise up in your heart. Yeah, that's he'll remind you of things that he's done in the past. What's that for? Don't just let it flip by. Grab it and look at it for a minute. Meditate on those things, because those things are rising up and coming before you so that you're strengthened in your faith. Amen. If you keep journals from time to time, go through your old ones and see how you've grown and see what God's done. Part of it is expressing your heart when you're writing things out, but part of it's going back over it and seeing the hand of God involved in your life, because he truly is. Amen. More so than we remember most times, we forget what God's even done. I've been shocked at some of the things that I've forgotten. When I go back, I think, whoa, that's so cool. You know, you get used to miracles. Is that crazy or what? We ought to be jumping up and down and, you know, lighting off fireworks and oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Something wrong with that. So, I just want to read the Amplified in that. It says, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. Have faith in what? God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is taking Jesus' place to represent him and to act on his behalf. We're not trying to talk God into doing good things for us. He's already done it. We're trying to hook up with the truth that he's done it. And that it is working. Just like when in the beginning, before we started the teaching, when we were talking about the spirit realm and how active it is. And how God is intervening in our lives angelically in different ways. Seeing into it and showing us things. There's a whole lot more and we going on than we give place to. But we need to become more aware. We're not standing here all by ourselves. The Holy Ghost has come alongside to help us with everything, to accomplish much in this life, to embrace all that he's given us, to move forward in the things of God. Mighty men and women of God in here. Amen. Big plans he has for each and every one of us. And he's going to see them come to pass as we yield and give place to him. Amen? Amen. There can be prophetic words that go forth. I know there's been some over me, and I stuffed them in my notebook, and I dig them out every now and then and reread them. But some of them I just stuffed in there. I didn't really believe it. What happens then? Not much anything, right? You know, when God speaks, we got to believe it. And when we embrace the truth of his word, whether it's written or it's prophetic, we have to embrace it. What do I mean by that? You're putting faith in that word. You're putting faith in him. See, it's his character and his word. Amen. It's who he is that brings anything about. We look at the mechanics. If I do this, pull this lever and push that button, then boing, here's my prize. But bottom line is, there's the word saying what? Have faith in your little buttons and levers? Have faith in what? In God. Hey, God. So faithful. So good. We can trust him. Well, I stopped. No, I stopped in the middle of it. You want me to finish it? Okay, this is halfway through 26. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. 27, peace I leave you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. He doesn't want us afraid. Amen? It puts it out plainly there. I love the Amplified when it expounds on things like that, because it paints a perfect picture for us to look at. But it's saying, you don't do it. You don't let it. You don't permit it. You stop doing it. It puts it all on us. He's going to remind us. He's going to take us. Amen. But we've got to listen, we got to obey, and we got to do what we know to do. And anything that rises up to agitate or irritate or bother or trouble or cause confusion or doubt or fear to rise up, we got to stomp on that with both feet. Not here. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's full of faith. I have faith in God. God Almighty, Almighty God. Almighty, the God of all might, has created this temple and housed it for his spirit to live in. Amen. In you, in me. Amen. Awesome God, all-knowing God, shows us things to come. Yeah, that's another thing. Had I taken heed few years back when he was speaking before I had symptoms. Yeah, but it's only coffee. Yeah, but. It is. Shoot him. So one more scripture and then we'll call it quits here. Well, maybe two. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, while the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear so that none of you should miss it. For we received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not profit them, since it was not mixed with faith. Well, you mean you can have people in the same room and some of them profit from the same word and some of them not? It just told us why. You have to mix it with faith. Faith in God's word. Faith in our God. Amen? And then in verse 3 it says, for we who have believed enter into rest. Rest is a peace. Rest isn't striving to get in faith. Rest is just putting your feet up and taking the pressure off and relaxing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your promises are true. Thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. I'm so glad you're so faithful. I'm so glad you're so good. I'm so glad you're so merciful. What is that doing? It's reminding us of who God is, and we put our confidence in him. We're putting our faith in him, not in us, but in him. There's faith principles at work, but our faith isn't in our principles. Our faith is in our God. Because we can get it turned around real quick, and then all of a sudden we're into works. And it's not by works of righteousness that any of us gain anything. Because of his mercy that he paid the price and delivered it unto us, and we grab hold of it by faith in what he's already done and already accomplished. Hallelujah. There's a warning that in Hebrews 3, well, I'm not going to go there. I think we've had enough. If I go there, we'll be a lot longer. God is so good, isn't he? He's given us so much. And I'm so thankful. And we don't, you know, contrary to, we don't have to beg or plead. We really don't. We just have to walk confidently. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are working right now in this body, in my heart, in my mind, in my emotions, that you're working right now. What if I don't feel it? Thank you, Lord, that you're working right now. Thank you. You began a good work and you'll continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've given me everything I need. I thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the anointing that's residing on the inside of me. It's resident here. Hallelujah. To quicken, to make alive this mortal body. Thank you for it, that right now you're working in me. Amen. He's so good. He's so good. We just need to take the tidbits of truth as he gives them to us, look at it, and then lift them up to him. Lord, I agree with your word. I agree with your truth. You're so good. You're so faithful. You love me so much. And that's the bottom line. God is love. That's who would have faith in God, have faith in love. Not this earthly love that we touch, but the love of God. Boy, he withholds nothing. So many people have the idea that you know, he's just dangling the promise. Here, Lisa, you want it? It's here. You can have it if you want it. You know, maybe it's for you. I don't know. Have you been good enough? And we get this concept in our head that all the promises are just waving out there, and we've got to, hopefully we can get them. But the truth is, they've been delivered unto us. And it's up to you. If you want it, you grab it. Amen. Not based on anything you've done, based solely on what he's done. He's so good. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's say this. Father, I thank you that you are everything you've declared in your word. You are faithful and true. You are love. You show your mercy. You've paid a price. You gave your son so that I could partake and have life with you everlasting. That I have your spirit within me. That you're quickening my body even now. That you're speaking to me even now. That you're at work within me. Whether I feel it or not. I know your word is true. And you're continuing your work in me. I thank you for it. I thank you for that healing power. I thank you that you've anointed me. I thank you that you put your spirit in me. I thank you that you're speaking to me. That you're leading me into truth, into righteousness, into wholeness, into soundness. Into everything you've prepared for me. And I give you praise for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, you're so faithful. We love you so much, Lord God. Oh, you're so good. So good. So perfect in all your ways, Lord God. Glory to you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, you can do that anytime you want. He won't get mad at you. Amen. Did you sense the presence of God? As you lifted him up, what did he do? Came right in. Amen. Amen. Ever living, ever acting. Because he loves you. Yay, God. Well, thank you and have a good night.